Good morning, and welcome to Tree Trail. My name is Blake, and I get to be one of the leaders here. I absolutely love the body of Christ, and on Sunday when we get to gather, and we get to share how God's been using us through the week. And sometimes, as we share what God's been using us, I know that many of us are going through trials, we're going through things. I don't know about you, but sometimes life looks like this, right? And, you know, someone sitting on your head, and it's crazy. This is just when I had three, now I have five. So now I've got two other people who can attack me. Or at least one who appears to be a cheerleader. But sometimes that's what life feels like. And we go through our week, and I think sometimes we allow Satan to get in our head. We think everyone has the smiley gone days, right? Like, we're disciples making disciples, and it's always God showing up, and it's always this great feeling, and we just think nothing will go wrong. And the truth of the matter is life is extremely difficult. And as we're going and we're making disciples, our life continues to go through things. And as you see here, last week we talked about how God has given us a new normal. That we don't have a sign that says God who tries to get us out. Many of us, that's how we relate to God. We think that He made all these laws, He made all these rules, and He's just trying to get us out. And we kind of look at other people and we're saying, look, look at what I'm doing, and I'm better than you. And the truth of the matter is God is not a Simon Says God. He is a follow the leader God. If you remember last week, we had four or five people, and we walked around, and you may do silly things, but the truth of the matter is God wants to walk you through life because He does have a Monday through Saturday mission just for you. But that Monday through Saturday sometimes looks like your six-year-old sitting on your head. It looks like going to the emergency room or the urgent care so much that they know you by first name. It may look like having to put a loved one in hospice. Monday through Saturday is not easy. We can come to Sunday and we put on our smiling face and we can praise Jesus, but life goes on. What do we do the Monday through Saturday? How do we walk this out? You know, when Paul was writing to the Galatians, we need to remember, this is what I love about the Bible, is that it's written to real people. The Galatians were people who had everyday life just like us. Half of the Roman colony, or half of the Roman Empire, were slaves. So think through, as he's writing to this church, there are people who didn't get to choose their job. They get to choose their spouse. They get to choose the life that they have. And they're having to, the only thing they've got to choose is to follow Jesus. And as they're following him now, they still have all this pressure going on. In fact, we're going to read this next week, that one of the reasons why these people who are adding the law, who are telling them to go back to the law, the reason why they're doing it is that they don't want to be persecuted anymore. They want to go back to their families because in the first century, when you followed Jesus, a lot of times you were leaving your family. You could lose your life. You could lose your job. And so as he's writing this to them and saying, listen, Jesus is worth this, Paul and the Galatians know what it's like when we're going through. He gets it when our kids are sick. He gets it when things are rough. When I was working through this lesson, I was trying to think of what to write on or how to be able to kind of preach this, this new practical, how do you live out your faith? And I came home on a Tuesday night. The kids are all sick. Megan's taking care of Willa. I'm helping Owen with his homework. And I'm doing all this. And then Calvin decides to throw up. And so I'm dealing with Calvin. I'm dealing with all the kids. And Megan's dealing with Willa and all this stuff. And the next morning, we're getting ready for school. And Owen decides to get the snacks ready. And he decides to take the Cheez-It box. And instead of opening it the right way, he's literally taking a Costco-sized box of Cheez-Its and walking through the house. It's just fuming out. And instead of saying, oh, sorry, and twisting it, he's blaming his brother, who's nowhere near him. And he's saying it's Ben's fault. So I go over and I turn the Costco-sized box of Cheez-Its over, and then we march through the inches of Cheez-Its. And then as this, Ben gets a Pop-Tart stuck in the toaster, and it's all before school, we get late, everything's a hot mess, and I'm just thinking, guys, going through the Monday through Saturday, just, it feels like a time for just surviving, right? Jim Gaffigan said this one time, that having kids is like you're drowning and someone hands you a baby. And I feel like that's life sometimes, where you just get enough breath to go back into the water for the next day. And so as Paul's writing this, go with me to Galatians. He says this in Galatians 6. He says, brothers and sisters, if someone is overtaken in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual, restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves so he also won't be tempted. Carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. So if you remember last week, Paul was talking to the Galatians, and he's saying practically, you're following Jesus. You don't have to follow the laws anymore. It's not Simon says, it's follow the leader. The Holy Spirit comes inside of you and he follows you and he leads you step by step. In fact, the word he uses is a military term. It means keep in step. It's he's in front of you and he's keeping in cadence. And if you stay with the cadence, you get to where God wants you to go. And that's exactly what Paul is saying. And so as we follow the leader, what's next? He says, you who are spiritual. Okay, so now you have love, joy, and peace. You're killing it. You want to prove your spirituality. It's not you looking down at people and going, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? It says, if you see someone caught up in sin, it says, in humility, you come up next to them. And you get underneath their load. And you help them to the point where they can carry it for themselves. But it's this picture of getting underneath this weight and walking together so that in my spirituality, I'm spiritually healthy. But my job is to help those who aren't spiritually healthy, not in judgment, not thinking that I can't get tempted, knowing that any moment I can fall with them. And the word he uses to restore is the idea of setting a broken bone. That's why he says do it gently. When we see someone in sin, maybe our first reaction is to judge them, but our first reaction should be to restore them. In our mind, it should be, how do we get them back on the path, not in judgment, but in grace? Because if you're setting a broken bone, I don't know about you, but I would want the person to be gentle. And he's saying, do it gently. As you set it back, you're walking alongside them. And he says, when you do this, you fulfill the law of Christ. The night before Jesus is betrayed, or actually the night that he is betrayed, he's talking to his Jewish disciples. He says, listen, I'm going to give you a new law that takes all the other laws and combines them. And he says this, I give you a new command. Love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Practically speaking, you know what this looks like? You getting dirty when the person that's also walking after Jesus gets caught up in sin. It's when they're starting to drown and you come alongside them. And in your spiritual health, you put that on the line so that you could walk them through it. The same night, Jesus said this. He said, guys, listen, I'm going to ask the Father, when I leave, I'm going to give you another counselor. He's going to be with you forever. This is so cool. Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit is a counselor. The word literally means to come alongside someone. So Paul is saying, listen, when you're spiritual and you're keeping in step with the Spirit, you know what you do? You actually fulfill the role that the Holy Spirit does. This Holy Spirit comes alongside people, and you know how he does it? Through us. Sometimes we want to make God this mystical thing, which he is. He's so amazing. But in practicality, you know how the Holy Spirit walks someone through an issue? Is he takes someone else and he walks them through it with you with them. That's why I say, you who are spiritual, God uses people to minister to other people. And that's one of our first steps into surviving on Monday through Saturday. Look with me in verse 3. He says, for if anyone considers himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let each person examine his own work, and then he should take pride in himself alone. And not compare himself with someone else. For each person will carry his own load. The idea that Paul is saying is what spiritual health is supposed to look like is that as you're following the leader, you realize the load, if the word literally means cargo, God has a specific load that is built just for you. My load is not your load, and your load is not mine. It looks different. It's built specifically for me. We talked through this. Our mission is completely different. God looks at you. He looks at your past. He looks at your race. He looks at your gender. He looks at your mistakes, and he says, I can use this. And he gives this load that's specifically made for you, and he says, walk through this. Now, as you're doing this, you do it in humility, knowing that you can get caught up at any moment. And as you're carrying your own load, God wants you to take pride in this, not in the arrogant pride, but I kind of view it as this. My kid comes home, and he's made this masterpiece in his mind, and he's so excited to show me his masterpiece. And I look at it, and as a parent, I kind of have to be told what this thing is. And you know what I do as a proud parent? I put it on my refrigerator so everyone can see this beautiful masterpiece. That's exactly what God wants to do. He wants you to follow the leader. He starts shaping your life. And he wants you to almost like a little kid coming to dad. I mean, dad, look what I did. Dad, look what you did through. Because I followed your spirit, I have love, joy, and peace in areas that I shouldn't. God, look at this. I have self-control that I never had. God, look at this. I have faith in areas I've never had faith before. And like a proud parent, he takes your work and he puts it on your refrigerator. Now, I don't know about you, but our Father doesn't play favorites. He doesn't look at my artwork or my homework and go, well, Blake, you got 18 out of 20. Well, Linda got 20 out of 20, so I'm going to put her work on the refrigerator. Now, he looks at it and goes, I know who you've been. You've been following me. I'm proud of both of you, but we like you. We like to look at the other person as we said, don't look at their stuff and go, well, you know, if I had their load, I'd be this more. Well, if I had their privilege, or if I had this right, or if I had what they had, look where I would be. That is not what God wants us to do. He wants us to get to the point where you're carrying your own load so that when someone else stumbles, you, who are spiritual, can come alongside them and carry them. But if you can't get there, you're not following the Spirit yourself. Our next passage, it says this in verse 6. Let the one who is taught the word share all the good things with the teacher. Don't be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, he will also reap. Because the one who sows to the flesh will reap destruction from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Let no one get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. You know, reaping what you sow, it's a passage that's even in our culture. People will quote this all the time. And usually when we hear this reaping to the flesh or sowing to the flesh or sowing seeds to the Spirit, we put it in context of maybe our own personal holiness. But Paul puts it in context of doing good for others. In this idea that he says that we're supposed to come alongside people and walk through their troubles, he says, those of you who have been taught something, not just the pastor, but anytime someone has been that person who came alongside you, when you have that opportunity, you need to be a blessing to them. And you know why? It teaches you dependence. One of the things that Satan wants us to think in our mind is that we have arrived because of what we've done. I hear this all the time. Oh, I got this by myself. I picked myself up whenever I was stressed. No one gave me anything. Really? Because a lot of times we learned how to talk and learn how to walk. So I'm going to teach you all this stuff. No one has ever arrived on their own. And so if you want to walk in spirituality, you realize that. And you realize that there have been people in your whole life that are pouring into you. And spiritual maturity is when you realize that and you look for opportunities to bless them. You're just not looking for opportunities to get what you can. And he says, keep sowing good things. When you have the opportunity, keep doing the right thing. If you can be a blessing, look for opportunities to be a blessing. Now, love, he says, specifically start with the household of faith. Start with brothers and sisters. Start within your own family. We should be looking for opportunities to love on one another. Because guess what? One thing I love about our church is that we know what each other's going through. I feel like every week there's a text from John saying, I just got back from urgent care, I'm going to urgent care. But that allows me to go, man, how can I love on John? I love that the different interactions that we get to hear. When we're walking through this life together, and we're looking for opportunities to be good to one another. It's just simple, practical things. Like, have you guys provided meals since we had our fifth kid? Man, that is something I didn't have to worry about through the week. And I think that's providing for the person who's walking life through you. But here's the thing. If we truly want to survive, one of the things that we have to do is we have to get our eyes off ourselves. One of the things Satan wants us to do is to get caught up in us, where we think we're the only one going through what we go through. And we can start comparing with one another. We start looking at their burden. We stop looking for opportunities to bless them. And what Satan wants us to do is to get self-focused. But what God wants us to do is he wants us to follow the example of his son. Jesus said this to his disciples. In this context, the disciples are arguing who's going to be the greatest leader among them. He said, listen, this must not be like that among you. On the contrary, whoever wants to become a great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for men. Paul is taking this idea. And he says, you know how you survive? You are constantly looking for opportunities to get underneath somebody. You're constantly loving on people. You're constantly saying, hey, how can I help you? Instead of saying, man, I can't believe you got caught up in this. You know, this past week, I met these missionaries in Matamoros, Mexico. This is their ministry called Juan Mis Manos. And it absolutely broke my heart. It is a ministry right across the Brownsville border, Texas, in Matamoros, Mexico. And in Mexico, the deaf have no rights. The government doesn't recognize them as legal citizens. And so because they're not recognized as legal citizens, they don't get public health care. And so if they want special care, they have to go the private way. And a lot of them are raised in families of lesser means, so their kids are neglected. Also, because they have no rights, you can commit a crime on them, and they can't be prosecuted. So of these 45 people right here, only 8 of them have not been sexually assaulted. Imagine the pain that they're going through. They've been neglected. They've been hated. They can't even go to the doctor. She was telling me stories that they went to a ear, nose, throat doctor. And the doctor said, oh, wait, you're deaf. I can't work on you. Sorry, an ear, nose, throat doctor can't work on someone with broken ears. You would think that would be in the description. And so what they've done is they've taken these three kids and they're teaching them life skills, and they're teaching them how to do sign language, and they're teaching them how to be mechanics and seamstress and to give them jobs. Now a lot of them, the lady who started this ministry, she's a counselor and she's walking these people through their pain. Because as you can imagine, the amount of pain that they've had, because people have misused them, many of them were drug runners in the cartel because they can't speak. They can't say what's happened to them. Many of them have worked as prostitutes because they were kidnapped. In fact, in a couple of months, we're going to go down there, and they built a compound wall so tall because the cartel kept trying to sneak in to get going back into trafficking. And so as they're working with these kids, imagine a deaf kid comes to you, and they say, why would the loving God allow me, one of the kids, to be abused by my brother? Why would God let that happen? And what I love what they do is as they disciple them and they love on them. One of the young men, he had been abused for like 5 years. He had moved into the ministry. He got saved. And for many of these families, the first person to be saved was the deaf kid. And the deaf kid learns how to forgive his family. And then they start discipling the family. And then God starts saving the family. In fact, in the last year, they said 15 people have been baptized. Because God started with the least of these. But what is so cool is what they're doing now is that they're teaching these guys how to make videos and how to produce things so they can make discipleship videos on YouTube, because there is absolutely no discipleship material for the death of Mexico. None. And they're also doing mental health videos. So here we have these people who have been spit on, left, many of them have been left for dead. People have been using them and misusing them for their little ways. God uses this amazing couple to love on them. They come underneath these kids' wings. And these kids are getting to the point now where they're discipling other people. One of the things they do is they have a young man. I believe it's the one on the left there. He's helping in the classroom. And they talked to him one day and they said, "Hey, I know that your parents abused you, but did you know that if you didn't go through what you went through, there'd be no one to love on this kid who's going through the same exact thing that you went through?" And so now he sees it as his opportunity to love on those kids. That is how we survive the Monday through Saturday. We realize that life is hard. We realize that following the leader is not as easy as smiling at church and singing wonderful songs. Sometimes it is going to the urgent care over and over again. Sometimes it's walking with others to eternity. Sometimes it's dealing with our spouse, dealing with our marriage, dealing with our issues, dealing with our finances. But we need to realize that God wants us to be spiritually healthy. If you've ever flown, you remember these little practical things that they have stewards come out, most of us are not paying attention. We're just mad that the RVU's not playing anymore. And now we've got to pay attention to this video. But one of the things they talk about is that it says, if we get turbulence and we need air, the mask will pop down. They say the first thing you do is you put yours on first so that you can breathe. And then you go to the person next to you to make sure they're breathing too. For some of you today, your next step is to realize that you've been caught up in sin and you need someone to come alongside you. In humility, you need to open up and say, "Listen, I'm drowning. Listen, there are issues in my life and I need you to help me." Some of us, those of us who God has blessed and we are walking in the Spirit, we need to be looking for opportunities. Looking for people who are, we can tell they're maybe faking until they make it. And just say, "Hey, how can I walk with you?" Because here's the thing. The church is a family that we're walking through this life together. It's not a solo show. God wants to use you to help someone fulfill the mission. Think through your week. So your next step could be, who does God have in your life today that you can start walking beside and allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to them? Let's pray. Father, I just lift up your church. I know that there is a lot of pain and a lot of craziness going on in this room right now. God, I know some of us, we are going through things with our family, with our kids, with our spouse. Some of us have craziness at a job. And I pray, Lord, right now that we know that you have made our load specifically just for us. And we can only get through this through your help and through your Spirit. And Father, Lord, help us as we walk on our path and we don't get so caught up in our mission that we forget that there are brothers and sisters who are drowning next to us. And God, maybe they just need a word of encouragement. Maybe they need someone to get dirty alongside of them and walk through the pain. But God, help us to know that there is a watching world looking for a hope. And they will see that hope when they see us loving one another. In your Son's name.